Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we wrap up our Month of May series with Dr. Meg Jay, author of the new book, The Defining Decade, Why Your 20s Matter, and How to Make the Most of Them Now. Today's topic, and the last in the series, urban tribes, groups of people between college and marriage who create support systems through their close friends. Dr. Jay, welcome back, and thanks for such a great month. You've helped so many people with your insights and advice over the course of this month and your experiences as a psychotherapist. So before we even do this final segment, I want to thank you for a fabulous series.
Thank you for having me, Brian. It's great to be back today, but I have to say I'm sad. My Thursdays just won't be the same.
Now, your chapter on this is called The Strength of Weak Ties. What does that mean?
The strength of weak ties is a phrase by Mark Granovetter, and he's a sociologist who studied how people find new jobs. And surprisingly, what he found is that they don't come from our best friends or our family members or even their suggestions. They come from people we see rarely, and these are what are called weak ties, people we don't know all that well, but they're more transformational than you may think.
And this book was actually the result of those kinds of weak ties, relationships with colleagues and editors who you casually knew, as you tell.
That's right. That's right. Yes, it's a really interesting story. I'll try to make it quick. But an editor that I never met actually accidentally sent me a box of books. And when I opened them and realized this, I emailed the person because the name was on the invoice inside, and we struck up a brief email acquaintance. And a year or two later, when I had the proposal ready for this book, I thought, well, I need to run it by somebody. I ran it by this woman in New York, a lovely editor there, and she said, this is a winner. You need to publish this. And within a few phone calls, the process had begun. And that was all from a person I never had met. I have never met to this day. But she made the process much easier and much faster than it would have been otherwise.
So our phones are open one last time in the series for people in your 20s, this time about urban tribes or connections that are weak ties that can actually result in strong results, and we'll talk about why Dr. Jay thinks that urban tribes are also overrated. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Do you feel intimidated at the thought of asking people you have weak ties with for help in looking for work? That's a big issue, according to the book. Anybody else want to call up? 212-433-9692 one more time for Meg Jay today. And despite the story you just told, you call the urban tribe overrated. How come?
Yes. The urban tribe is overrated because exactly what you said your Freudian slip was, they're overrelated. So the urban tribe is generally an incestuous group. It's a clique of friends that we've had for some years. We probably are very similar in terms of our views on the world. And so it's our urban tribe is great for helping us move and for us texting them when something goes wrong, but they're often not the most transformational figures in our 20s. This woman in New York who helped me get the book process started was absolutely not in my urban tribe. She was a weak tie. She was someone far outside of my close-knit group of friends.
You write about the Benjamin Franklin effect. What's that?
The Benjamin Franklin effect, it's a story that Benjamin Franklin used to tell about getting a fellow legislator on his side. And rather than Benjamin Franklin doing a favor for this legislator, he asked the legislator for a favor. He asked to borrow a book that this man had. And after that, they were connected. We know from research that once someone does one favor for you, they're more inclined to do another and another and another. So as you try to branch out and get outside of the urban tribe, don't be afraid to ask weak ties for favors. They're going to be more likely to do them than you think they will. And once they do one, they're on the hook for more and more across years to come.
That's so fascinating. To curry favor with somebody instead of doing a favor for them, ask them for a small favor, and then they'll feel more positively inclined toward helping you again.
That's exactly the way it works. Subsequent research has shown this. It's like the foot in the door effect. You just get your foot in the door by asking for something. And what most 20-somethings need is something small or something easy for someone who's in power or who is further along or older in life. It's easy for that person to send the email that can really change a 20-something's life, and then you're connected.
And I think one of the biggest barriers that you write about, especially for people who are in their 20s who are not used to using their networking connections yet in a professional context, is that people are intimidated by the whole idea. They have a hard time asking favors of people they don't know very well, right?
Yes, they're very intimidated by it. They also, I think a lot of 20-somethings I work with worry that that's cheesy or cheating or just somehow not the way it's done. But I'm here to tell you that is absolutely the way it's done, and it's the way people are doing it. So 20-somethings who don't ask for favors are going to fall behind the people who will ask for the favors.
212-433-WNYC. Any reaction from people in your 20s or any other age to Meg J's take on networking? 212-433-9692. And Bob in Cranford, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. I'm 60 years old. I picked up Dr. J's book for the sake of sharing it with my kids who are in their 20s. I had heard her in an earlier spot, and I recently left the job I had been in for 30 years. And I have to say, having read the book now, I find it's probably going to be of at least as much value for me as it is for my kids. So
it's out there, I think,
for of great value for people well beyond their 20s. There's something for everyone to learn from.
So, Dr. J, if you're looking for a new publicist, maybe Bob in Cranford.
That's right. That's right, Bob. I've got work for you. But, you know, Bob is right of that what I talk about in the defining decade, it's really not just for 20-somethings, but these are great years to learn these lessons. That these are the same lessons you're going to use again and again, whether you're getting a new job at 25 or 65.
And you do say that 20-somethings shouldn't reach out for advice on which career path to choose, but should be more specific about what exactly they need from the other person. Can you explain that a little more?
Sure. Well, we know that it's good to be good. Altruism makes people happy, but that's only if the favors that people ask for aren't overwhelming. So if someone asks me for a favor that's clearly defined, that's usually pretty simple for me to do. If they ask me something like, I don't know whether I should be a social worker or a folk singer, that's a big conversation. That's not just a simple favor. That's a lot of due diligence there that we're going to need to go through. So I think what you need to do when you ask someone for a favor, you've got to be really specific. You've got to make it easy for them by already knowing what it is you want and what you need.
Rosa in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Dr. J, I just got your book actually on audiobook, and I was listening to the segments, and I love it. You know, it's like everything
Great.
That you talk about is true in my life. And I'm 23. I'm switching jobs, and the way that I found a new job was I actually contacted one of my old chemistry professors after listening to your book, and
Perfect.
He got me an interview, and now I have the job.
That is awesome, Rosa, and That is great. That is exactly the way it happens. And it's so much easier than people think. I know right now it is not easy to find a job, but sometimes a job or a foot in the door, it's just an email or a phone call away. But you've got to be a little courageous. So good for you.
And Rosa, you know the terms, right? Dr. J gets 15% of your salary for setting
for life,
you up.
Right.
thank you very much. Good luck. Georgie Ann in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Brian. Thank you for having me on the call. I'm a chief executive officer of a not-for-profit organization, and I have a son who's around 30, and for years I've been contacted by his peers and kids that age to ask for help in either reviewing a resume or having a, you know, an informational interview. I'm always happy to help. For one thing, it's a way that our organizations identify young people with talent and interest, and also it's so relatively easy for someone who's in an established position to help someone younger. So I think this is, you know, all on the right track, and I just like to put out the encouragement to any young people who feel like it's overwhelming that they should contact people they know, parents of their friends, anyone they know, neighbors, and ask for that help. It's never resented.
You're not going to blow them off. Georgia Ann, thanks very much. Joe in Bergen County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
You know, it just strikes me that, you know, I've got a son who's Generation Text. You know, he's 16. I would consider that Generation Text.
Right.
You know, where his friends will text somebody 15 feet away or 20 feet away. They're in the same room. They're texting with each other. They're not going over to talk to each other. They're not establishing those personal, you know, relationships face-to-face. At the same time, would you consider your 20s, they're millennials, right?
Yeah.
People in their 20s right now, they're the millennials. That's one of the
okay.
names.
Okay. I talked to somebody who's running one of the larger PR firms the other day. He's putting together a whole program of training for millennials that are in his company and that are starting to come into his company because they're not functioning properly. And I really think you have to teach them how to build better relationships rather than just texting or doing
posting
things
on Facebook. Joe, thank you very much. Where do you come down on this, Dr. J? I could see a whole other side to this argument that could say there are a lot more weak ties today than there ever were, weak ties for people to exploit, because it is so easy to text back and forth, and people have so many weak ties on Facebook. Facebook friends don't have to be only your best friends.
Sure.
So maybe it goes the other way.
I think it goes both ways. I think you do have more weak ties than ever before if you know how to utilize them because of Facebook and the web and emails. I help a lot of people over email with a recommendation for a therapist in their town or a recommendation of a book or a school. So that's more possible than ever before. At the same time, Joe's right that you're probably more likely to help someone that you've met in person, or just the strength of those connections can definitely play a role. And so, you know, I think young people need to know how to do both.
Do you find, as the company that he was referring to in your practice, dealing with 20-somethings who come to you for psychotherapy, that there is this disconnect between texting or emailing or posting on Facebook a lot, any social media, and people's ability to function face-to-face?
I think I talk about in the chapter in the defining decade that one of the ways the urban tribe can hold us back is that it can actually dumb down how we talk and how we conduct ourselves, because we're used to hanging out with all the same people. We're all in agreement. We know how each other's communication preferences, so we're not always so careful. And I do find sometimes with clients I have to give them a little education around how it's going to go in the workplace or the maybe more accepted way to communicate with a professional when they're going out looking for jobs and looking for help. Sometimes there is a disconnect.
Ezra in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ezra.
Hi, how are you? I'm hearing a lot about people that have connections. They don't realize how much they could get from them. But there's so many people like myself that don't really have those connections that you're talking about. And you make it like everybody can actually get to where. How do people make those initial connections with strangers and then follow up with the favor?
And this is youth and inexperience, because you're in your 20s and you just don't feel you have those connections yet to exploit, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Dr. J, real quick.
Yeah, that you think not only about your connections, but the connections of everyone that you know. And so often that person who's going to help is actually 2 or 3 or 4 degrees removed from you immediately. So think beyond your closest connections, and then as you use anyone beyond there, you're increasing that web. It's just a huge web that gets bigger the more that you tap into those further out places.
Well, once again, we're going to have to leave it here. And once again, this has been such a great series. So many people have posted on our sites or called up to say that they've been helped. You heard some of them on the phones today. Particular help for people from age 23 to 60 identifying themselves. So again, Meg J's book is The Defining Decade, Why Your 20s Matter and How to Make the Most of Them Now. And it's been a pleasure to have you on every Thursday for the month of May.
It's been all my pleasure. Thank you, Brian.
Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, Paige Cowett, and Reem Nasser produced this program today. Our senior producer is Megan Ryan. Debbie Fountain and Leora Noam Kravitz tag teaming at the audio controls. Follow me on Twitter at Brian Lehrer and Facebook.com/Brian Lehrer WNYC. Talk to you tomorrow.